Christmas is a time for celebration. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell recounts the most amazing event in world history.
Recognize that salvation is through His power, and sometimes in our lives we face circumstances where we're trying to understand how can it be and how can it change or be different or how can I understand my way through, and God gives sometimes a minimal explanation but then simply says, remember that with me all things are possible.
Every year, the story of Christmas is told and retold. But Christmas is more than just an event. It's a promise of hope. Long after the celebrations are over and the lights have come down, the promise of Christmas endures. Christmas begins what Easter celebrates. The child in the manger became the king on the cross. In today's series, The Heart of Christmas, we will discover the difference the promise of Christmas can make in our lives all year long. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Heart of Love.
Well, you don't have to look around too far to realize we've come full on into the Christmas season. You can see it around you. You can hear it in the community. And it's a wonderful time of year. The stores, of course, like this time of year. Some of them have been advertising since August for Christmas, and they're ready for the Christmas season. I saw a sign not long ago in front of a store that said, big pre-Christmas sale, come and mingle with the crowd. And there are some stores where it's a little more mangling than mingling as people get in and get serious about their Christmas shopping. And then some people think about food at this time of year, and they think about what they're going to eat, how much they're going to eat, and so forth. And as they do that, I saw a bumper sticker that reminded me of one man who is not real worried about excessive eating during the holiday season. His bumper sticker simply said, fat people are harder to kidnap. I thought that was a pretty good attitude about how to adjust into the holiday dieting season. But this is a time when folks do think a little more about gatherings and gifts and even food and diet. But this morning we come really right back to the very basic truth of what is Christmas really all about. And we see this morning God in several ways speaking to Mary and telling her that she was highly favored among women. God favored Mary. God blessed Mary. And through Mary and through the work of the Holy Spirit in her, the entire world was blessed with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want you to see with me how it all began back as she heard the message in Nazareth and later gave birth in the little town of Bethlehem. Notice, if you would, this morning, a heavenly messenger coming to Mary. The Bible tells us that Mary, this common A young woman from Nazareth, suddenly has in her presence a heavenly messenger by the name of Gabriel. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, notice, if you would, Gabriel's appointment. The Bible says it was in the sixth month. This is the sixth month from the time of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And in the sixth month of that event, the Bible says that Gabriel came now to speak to Mary. And we learn from this appointment that our God is a God always on a timetable. He is always working according to His timetable. For example, 4,000 years had transpired prior to this event in world history, and yet God had His calendar date marked to send Gabriel to Nazareth at this time. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so Gabriel's appointment with Mary may have caught Mary by surprise, but it didn't catch God by surprise. It had been marked on His calendar for all of that time. Now we see concerning this man Gabriel that Gabriel was sent by the Lord. The Bible says in verse 26, sent from God. And the name Gabriel means warrior of God. Gabriel is an angel that was used at specific times to give messianic prophecies. For example, back in the book of Daniel, 550 years prior to this, it was Gabriel that had given prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. It was Gabriel that had given prophecies concerning John the Baptist and the one that would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And now here's Gabriel again telling Mary about the coming of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I believe it's going to be old Gabriel that blows that trumpet when Jesus comes again real soon. Gabriel had a purpose from God, and the Bible tells us concerning that purpose in verse 26, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Notice the word sent. It's a Greek word apostello. It is the same word from which we derive the word apostle, which means a sent one. And even as the apostles were sent into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Gabriel was sent to the world to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was sent by God. And then notice he was sent to an appointed place. The Bible says in verse 26, sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. When we were in the Holy Land, we were able to come across the Valley of Megiddo, a very beautiful valley, a fruited valley. And then we began to come into the Galilean region, about 7-8 miles, it seemed like, from Nazareth over the hills to the Sea of Galilee. When you came into the countryside of Nazareth, you could not help but ponder the life of Mary and Joseph. You could not help but ponder the fact that this is the place where Gabriel came and spoke to Mary. Nazareth today is comprised of Jewish people and Islamic people and some broadly named Christian people. Still a quaint, small area, really. But during the days of Jesus, it was nothing more than a Roman garrison. It was a place where the Roman soldiers kept their equipment and kept together for military practices and exercises. It was really kind of a common place, nothing special much about Nazareth. That's why Nathanael said in John 1 and verse 46, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" There were some people who questioned Jesus Christ being the great Son of God just because he came from a place called Nazareth. But you know, one of the things we see in the Christmas story is the condescension of God's love toward us, that Jesus Christ came for all men, not just a few, but he came for all who would believe. And Nazareth and Bethlehem are pictures of the love of God to all men who will believe. Gabriel had an appointment, but I want you to notice, secondly, Gabriel's appearance. Gabriel made his appearance to Mary in verse 27. We read about it. "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now notice, if you would, this appearance was made to a chosen maiden. And Mary was specifically chosen by God for this task. And I want you to see one of the reasons why is the fact that she was a pure maiden. And several ways and several times in this chapter, the Holy Spirit does much to protect the purity of Mary. Some Bible versions speak of Mary as a young woman. And one of the reasons we reject those Bible versions is because of the fact that this passage we're reading about this morning goes to great length to protect her as a pure, betrothed virgin prepared by God for this mission in her life. There's a great difference between being a young woman and being a virgin, and the Bible speaks of that specifically here. And in fact, in verse 34, the Bible says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And so we see the scriptures in a couple of different angles telling us that she was a woman particularly prepared for this great event. The Bible says in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So Mary was a chosen maiden. Mary was a pure maiden, and notice Mary was an espoused maiden, and that's significant. It says in verse 27, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph." Now, in our days, we use the term engagement, and frankly, I have seen that there have been many people who are engaged, and it doesn't mean what it meant in Bible times. Many times the engagements are broken off. Many times there's promiscuity during engagement. It's not a holy time in America, but in the Jewish culture, to be betrothed literally meant marriage without the consummation of the physical union. They had already agreed, Mary and Joseph. They had already signed legal documents. It was approved by their families. The date was set. They were essentially married except for the physical union. And so when we read the word espouse, we're reading about a holy agreement. So Mary was not only a pure woman, but Mary now had entered into this agreement with Joseph, her husband-to-be. Now notice not only the heavenly messenger, Gabriel, coming down and making this appearance, but let's learn a little more about Mary. Let's learn about this honored maiden, this woman that we read about in the Bible named Mary, an honored maiden. Now notice in verse 28 what the Bible says to Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now notice, first of all, that Mary was honored by God's announcement. And I tell you, ladies and men as well, for any of us to have something said of us like Gabriel just said about Mary would be the highest of a compliment. And it's an amazing statement indeed. Notice the salutation that Gabriel gives once again. The angel came in, verse 28, unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now the word hail is a word that means rejoice. It was a joyful greeting. He said, "I've got some good news for you, Mary." And he said, "You are highly favored among women." Now as Baptists, we do not pray to Mary. We do not pray through Mary. We have never seen that in the Bible. We have one mediator between God and man, and the one mediator is Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. We do not pray to statues. We do not pray to historical figures, if you will. We as Baptists have preached against using any other mediatrix or mediatorial system. There's not one verse that tells us to pray to or through Mary. And many of our Baptist forefathers in the Dark Ages were martyred or murdered because they preached that you should not pray to Mary. But let me say this. As Baptists, we believe that Mary, while she is not to be worshipped or prayed to, she is to be highly respected. She was a godly, gracious, and pure woman. Indeed, an example for every woman and man in this room today. For the Bible says she was highly favored by God. How many of you would say this morning, "I would like God's favor in my life"? I would like someone to be able to see my life and say, "God is with you." Notice that the Bible says in verse 28, "The Lord is with thee." Now, I have known some people who called themselves Christians. They even had bumper stickers on their car that said, "Honk if you love Jesus." But I have wondered if the Lord is really with them. In other words, their attitude, their lifestyle, sometimes did not reflect the presence of the Lord. But Mary was such a woman that everyone around her knew the Lord was with her. That's a great sermon all by itself for all of us to live this week. The Lord was with her. And so she was a woman who was honored by God's announcement through Gabriel's salutation. She was honored by God's announcement through God's presence in her life. Notice in verse 28 it says, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." There again the phrase, "the Lord is with thee." Now the Lord was with her in her walk daily. The Lord would be with her physically as she carried him in her womb. What a tremendous privilege and blessing in her life. And then God gave this announcement to Gabriel through Gabriel's salutation, through God's presence. But notice thirdly, through God's blessing in her life. Through God's blessing, this announcement was made. Verse 28 says it again, "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The word blessed, speaking of the fact that God viewed this woman as particularly blessed and prepared for the purpose of carrying his son. And so we see an honored maiden, honored by God's announcement. Notice secondly, she was encouraged by God's assurance. She was encouraged by God's assurance. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you read the Bible and you try to put yourself in the place of a Bible character. Maybe David or Joseph. Maybe you've tried to put yourself in the place of Joseph being betrayed by your brethren. But in this case, we put ourselves into the place of Mary. And we hear this wonderful announcement. Hail, thou that art highly favored among women. Blessed art thou among women, and so forth. And we hear that. And yet we wonder about Mary's response. And notice what her response is in verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now notice Mary's concern. The angel Gabriel's telling her, you're highly favored, the Lord has sent me. He kind of pops in out of nowhere. And the Bible tells us that Mary was troubled. The word here means to be troubled greatly or to be agitated. She was excited, perplexed about this news. It was unexpected. And I want you to notice also what she says here in verse 29. It says, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation that should be. Notice that phrase, she cast in her mind. She begins to bring together different reasonings in her mind. She's trying to figure this out in her mind. She's wondering about what's going on right now. This is bizarre, if you will, to her. She's so concerned about what would Joseph think. She's concerned about all of the ramifications. Who is this? What's going on? And no doubt she had reason to be concerned. And sometimes we have news in our life that brings a similar response. We begin to cast in our mind, and sometimes I do that in my own mind and trying to put the pieces together, if you will. That is our human nature, is it not? To try to put these things together. But notice, if you will, Gabriel's comfort to Mary in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. One of the great lessons from today's message is just those two words, fear not. Because when we have news in our lives that we're trying to put together and we're casting in our mind, then we must come back to those truths that we have learned even as children. And how many times have we come back to those truths even in recent days? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And that is what Gabriel was saying. Fear not, Mary. Don't spend all your time casting in your mind what's going on. Just know that God has a plan. We see a heavenly messenger by the name of Gabriel this morning coming to speak to Mary about the work of the Son of God. And we see an honored maiden who's confused. But God says to her through his messenger, fear not. But would you notice with me finally this morning a hopeful message? You see, Gabriel didn't come to scare Mary, and God didn't give us his word or the circumstances of our lives to scare us. God has a hopeful message for Mary, and it is a message that brings hope to the entire world. Now notice this message, if you will, in verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now notice the message, first of all, is the message of the promised Messiah. And we see here this morning that there is a promised coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, verse 31, and shalt call his name Jesus. The fact of the matter is today that we are reading the story of how the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and conceived in Mary the Son of God, whose name is Jesus Christ. And the false religions of this day deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They say that God had no son, but we're here celebrating all month long the fact that God has a son and his name is Jesus Christ. And we're not here today to preach the alleged virtues of all the religions in the world. We're here to lift up the name that is above every name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And we do that unashamedly. We believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ. Now, Mary knew that the Messiah had been promised. In fact, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." In other words, from the time that Mary was a little girl, she had heard about Messiah. The prophets spoke about it. They wrote about it. I read to you a moment ago, Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah prophesied, "A virgin shall conceive." And throughout the scriptures, Micah and Daniel, God, Genesis 3:15, God had been prophesying the coming of his son. And so the angel says to Mary, "Mary, you are going to be a part of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the fathers before you." And so again in verse number 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." And so this was a gift that would be delivered by God to all the world through Mary. How many of you agree with me this morning? Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Amen. And given by God through Mary, how we thank the Lord for it. Now, sometimes our gift giving doesn't go according to our plan. I heard about a lady who had bought all of her gifts, but she still needed to get 40 or 50 cards for her friends. She ran to a Hallmark store. She bought 50 cards. She sat down and signed them hurriedly, stuffed them into the envelopes, put the stamp on them, put them in the mailbox. And she was glad to get that done. One of her holiday chores done. She sat down Christmas morning, had a cup of coffee. She had one of those cards left and she just decided maybe she would read it. It was pretty, but she had not really read it. And the card said on the inside, "This card is just to say a little gift is on the way." And suddenly she realized she had 49 friends waiting for a present to come. Now, I don't know if those 49 friends ever got that present, but I know this, we got ours. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he came because of Mary's surrender and because of the love of God. Now, this promised coming had been made by the prophets of old, and they prophesied a child to be born. And notice that in verse 31, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now notice the prophesied child. His name shall be called Jesus. Let's say that name together, shall we? Jesus. What a lovely name. Jesus. It's an easy name. It's a name that the children in the nursery can say this morning. It comes from the Hebrew Joshua, which means Jehovah will save. And that's why Jesus came, to save us from our sins. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. It's an easy name. May I say to you, secondly, this morning, it is an exalted name. The name of Jesus Christ is above all names. And politicians, in their attempt to gather influence, will put all religions on the same shelf. But in this house of God this morning, we are here to lift the name of Jesus above every other name.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.